This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Diving right back into it here on a Thursday, cold Thursday, brisk Thursday.
But the sun's going to be out today, so that's big.
It's already getting ready to show its face. Notice last night, 6:05, that's when my dusk to dawn light came on my front porch. So 6:05, 6:05 p.m. So apparently, dawn or dusk is 6:05. According to the light. So every so often I'll look at it and I'll just notice it. And just, you know, obviously it'll come on. And I was like, 6 o'clock now. It used to be like 4:45. Then it was like 5:15.
Yeah.
Missed a week because we were out of town. And now it's 6:05. And now it's, what, 7:05?
Yeah.
We got a nice little.
Yeah. Dawn, the first twinkle came in the 6 o'clock hour. And then, you know, you see light till about 6:30 now. So it's great. Yeah. We're getting closer and closer. I think first weekend of March, right, is when we kind of spring ahead and move the clocks forward. And so I'm excited for that.
So this was the owner at Radio Row about a week ago.
Travis coming back for another year?
I certainly think so. I think he's enjoying playing the game. He's clearly, you know, one of the greatest tight ends of all time at this point. But I think he loves what he's doing.
This was Travis Kelce on this week's episode of New Heights.
I know everybody wants to know whether or not I'm playing next year, and right now I'm just kicking everything down the road. I'm kicking every can I can down the road, and I'm not making any crazy decisions, but right now the biggest thing is just being there for my teammates and being there for my coaches, understanding, you know, that there's a lot that goes into this thing. You know, I've been fortunate over the past 5-6 years. I've played more football than anybody.
Yeah.
And it's because the people that are in that building. And the fact that we keep going to these AFC championships and these Super Bowls, and that means I'm playing an extra 3 games more than everybody else in the entire league. And that's a lot of wear and tear on your body. And it's a lot of time spent in the building, focusing on your crafts, focusing on the task at hand, every challenge that you set up for yourself. And it's that process can be grueling. It can weigh on you. It can make you better, and it can drive you crazy at the same time. And right now, it's one of those things where it was kind of driving me crazy this year. And I think that it happens as you kind of tail off towards the back nine of your career, as a SVP would say. Is, you know, it's as you see yourself or not feel yourself have the success that you once used to have, man, it's a tough pill to swallow. And then on top of that, to not be there in the biggest moments, knowing your team's counting on you, man. Those are all extremely hard things to, it's just a tough reality. And, yeah. You know, I think, I'm going to take some time to figure it out. And, I think I owe it to my teammates that if I do come back, that it's going to be something that, it's a wholehearted decision. I'm not half-assing it. And I'm fully here for them. And, I think I could play. It's just, whether or not I'm motivated or it's the best decision for me, as a man, as a human, as a person to take on all that responsibility.
It's crazy to listen to all of that from Travis Kelce, right? And know that the end is near. Did he watch some of the highlights that have been circulating around the internet on himself? Because there's a couple out there that make him look very, very not connected to the game. And I hate to say that, but that's what it was. There's a couple plays out there. Everybody's talking about him, right? But I think Travis Kelce's reacting to that. I think he's reacting to that game did not go his way at all. I mean, and it didn't go the Chiefs, didn't go anybody's way, right? But you don't make your decision based on that game alone. Like, if if you were thinking about retirement before the game, you went out there, had 128 yards, two touchdowns, and you won the game, and you were thinking about it beforehand, then you probably will continue to think about it. It doesn't sound like, from what Clark told us, really, that this was even like a consideration. Ben this week happened, had a really bad game, really bad performance, one of his worst games ever, and you start to think, maybe I should walk away. I don't know what my reaction is right now to Travis Kelce, quite honestly. I don't know what I think he should do, because I can see both sides of it. And, you know, you talk to enough people in sports over the years, and they always say, once you start considering retirement, you got to go. It's better to go a year early than go a year too late. But if Travis Kelce does come back next year and has 300 yards receiving and one touchdown and it isn't that impressive, I don't want that to leave a bad taste in the mouths of a lot of fans too, right? Because I think people are going to be waiting for Travis Kelce next year, if he plays, to say he's washed again like they've been doing for the last 3 years. And I think from Travis's standpoint, he needs to get away. Get the hell out of this town for a while. Get the hell out of this country maybe for a while. Go to a beach in Mexico or, you know, someplace like that. Kick it, like he said, the can down the street a little bit, and really think about it, and don't make a rash decision because of how bad Sunday was for everybody.
I'm in the camp of, you do whatever the hell you want. You got nothing to prove to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You've done it. You've done whatever you want, and take all the time that you want.
Yeah.
Because I think the question that came up on our rundown was, would it benefit the Chiefs to not have Travis Kelce on the roster next year? And I don't know the answer to benefit or not benefit. I think it would 100%. Actually, I do know the answer. I think it would 100% benefit.
Yes.
Just because of what he is. Now, here's where I will take this take. I think Travis Kelce should take all the time he wants. I think he should do whatever he wants to do, and he won't be judged either way upon it. His career has a Hall of Fame resume attached to it. He's going to be embarked in whatever he wants to do. And I thought Cody made a good point yesterday when they talked about this. Travis is an athlete. A rarity of an athlete like any others. He is set for life. Like, he is going to be able to do whatever, whenever the hell he wants.
And he's not going to be selling his Super Bowl rings because he's broken for years. You know, like, I think Travis has got the ability to bring in all kinds of money.
Like, the podcast is there. The TV is there. The endorsements are there. The pop-ups, whatever he wants to do, is there. Similar to what Gronk is doing, but in a more like cooler way. Like, Gronk's still kind of like the frat boy, funny guy. That's his role. He's leaned into it. It works. Travis's will be the, you know, Rico Suave. Oh, here's Travis. Here's either Taylor's boyfriend or Taylor's husband, whatever it may be. I don't know the future of them. That's on them as well. But the other thing that I think is very interesting to Travis Kelce is, are you willing for the first time in your career to not be the guy?
Yeah.
Like, you're no longer the number one option in this offense. You're no longer, well, it's Mahomes, Kelce, and Reed. Now it might be Mahomes, Worthy, Rice, and Kelce. Right? It might be you're not the same guy anymore. And if you're okay with that, being the 35-year-old tight end that we see start to, you know, dissipate in their career.
Right.
And, you know, are you the guy that's okay to have 500 to 600 yards and your main plays are third down because you're getting older, because your body can't take the taxing hits throughout the season, but you're a red zone presence, you're a third down presence, and your year numbers are 500, 600 yards and 3 to 6 touchdowns. If you're okay with that role and you're willing to do that, then that's fine. But if you think that you've done everything you could possibly do and you're willing to call it a day and retire and do everything, then we told you the AFC Championship games, Buffalo, was your last chance to go see Travis Kelce play.
You know, Ralph called my wife last week after the loss and said to Jed, he goes, I'm really glad you made me go to that AFC Championship game. Because he was kind of teetering a little bit, you know, whether or not to go. Everybody was kind of tired and, you know, worn out from the season and whatnot. He's like, I could just sell the tickets maybe and make some money. We're like, no, you're going
I'm
to the game.
Did.
It could be the last time you get to see Travis Kelce. That was one of the biggest reasons I wanted to go to that AFC Championship game. Obviously, what was at stake, the most important game in the history of Arrowhead. But number two on that list was, I don't know if I'm going to ever see Travis Kelce at Arrowhead Stadium again. And I didn't want to have that regret. I didn't want to be that guy who looked back and went, man, I had an opportunity to watch him play one more time in person, and I didn't take advantage of that. Because there's not many athletes that come along in our lifetimes, you know, that you want to see in person for that last game. I think when George Brett, it's probably going to be Salvi. I know it was like that in 17 with Moose, Haas, and Kane when they all walked off the field and the whole stadium was crying and all that kind of stuff because of what they brought to the table. It was great to be in the ballpark ballpark for that moment. It was great to be in the ball. It will be great for Salvi's last game, Mahomes' last game, Reed's last game, Kelsey's last game. And I think that's kind of where the list pretty much ends. Maybe Bobby's last game in 25 years from now, but we're not even, you know, we're not even into that kind of conversation yet. There's not many of those athletes that you want to see play that last game and be part of. And that was a big reason why I went to that game to, you know, to see him, because I don't know if I ever get the opportunity to see Travis Kelce play again.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason I put this question in the doc is a lot of the reasons you ask these questions is because sometimes you think you know the answer. And I came to this conclusion with you yesterday, Bob, that I truthfully believe that the Chiefs are better off without Travis Kelce next year. And that really hurts to say as a lifelong Chiefs fan and a lifelong Travis Kelce lover and supporter. But we talked about it yesterday. They need more talent on this team. They need an overhaul, not only on the defense, but especially really on the offense. And they don't have the money nor the picks to get that. Kelce has a cap hit of just under $20 million. He's not worth that. Before, when the Chiefs were at a talent deficit, which they have been in really every Super Bowl, they haven't had more talent. But that's been okay because you got Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, and not most of all, but up there with all of them, Travis Kelce, the best connection of all time in the NFL it's ever seen. It's not that anymore because Kelce has eroded with age, and that's okay. But this team needs to get younger, as we've said. We just talked about getting rid of guys a year early rather than a year late. He's slow. He doesn't have the yak that he used to have. We just need, and we don't need someone like Travis Kelce anymore to eat up targets and be that fail-safe, because I think before that was the argument. Rashee Rice is coming back, and he's going to be top five in targets and catches next year in the NFL, just like he would have been this year. It sucks, but the fact that he's talking like this makes me feel like the Chiefs should maybe just meet him in the middle.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if he does retire, they save $17 million on the cap, because I think that's what he accounts for this year, and that doubles the amount of money they have available this offseason, right? So, I mean, you could look at it from that standpoint, or you can give him another year, you know, add a year on and spread that money out for another year or whatever the case may be. You have a dummy year, you know, in 2026 on that contract. But for where I sit right now, if he decides to retire, congratulations. Congratulations, man. Thank you for everything. If he wants to come back from here, let's go, man. Let's do this one more time, you know? Hey, I'd suck for a couple years.
Coming up on the other side, Ben Maller. He'll join us as we dive even further in on this Thursday here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller, fresh off the NFL season coming to a close, and it's all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. Of course, you can catch Ben overnights right here on 96.5 The Fan. And Ben, are you digging a grave for the Chiefs and saying they're the worst franchise of all time, like seemingly the national media is doing?
I'm missing out on this, guys. I guess the dog pile, I've not jumped on top of the Chiefs yet. It is fascinating, though. I am impressed that all week, actually 2 weeks leading into the Super Bowl, it was the Chiefs are a dynasty. We're like, are they going to catch the Patriots? You know, Belichick versus Andy Reid, Mahomes versus Brady. And then they go out there. And granted, listen, Mahomes rode the vomit comet. He was terrible in the game. And now all of a sudden, I've got one of my colleagues saying, Andy Reid's got to go. And Mahomes, every nerd's got a stat about how Mahomes has actually been progressively worse over the last 3 years. I mean, it's over the top. The thing about, like, the Jalen Hurts love, listen, he played well. I didn't think he was amazing. He played pretty well for the Eagles. But if the Eagles called up the Chiefs and said, we'll trade you Jalen Hurts for Patrick Mahomes right now, do you think the Chiefs would make that trade? I don't think they would, right? And of course not. Calm down. Just because they won the Super Bowl does not mean Jalen Hurts is God's gift to the quarterback position. He was good. He didn't choke. Congratulations, they won. Now let's see if they can do it again.
Yeah, and I think that's the best way to put it. You know, you had a good game or a bad game. It doesn't define you as a player, and this game doesn't define Andy Reid as a coach. You mentioned your colleague Rob Parker with – it's probably the dumbest comment I've heard in two decades about sports in general. He says Andy Reid should resign because he's getting progressively worse. Is Rob Parker just content farming, or does he actually believe idiot stuff?
Well, you got to understand, when I filled in at EEI in Boston for a while, and Rob was on TV at that time, and he spent the entire 20 years the Patriots were winning Super Bowls every couple years, pretty much, bashing Tom Brady as the luckiest of all time, and ripping Bill Belichick. So it's I love Rob. Rob's one of my good friends, but that's his shtick. That's what Rob does. He piles on, and he sees a weakness and he just goes for it. And I would keep Andy Reid. I would want Andy Reid to coach the Chiefs another 8 years if he's willing to do it, right? Right up until his mid 70s. Just have him keep coaching Mahomes. The whole thing, Spags, the defensive coordinator, he was going to get a head coaching job. Now, the game's passed him by. It's like everything is so over the top. It's just absolutely wild there. But the take machine, and it is a lot engagement farming because, hey, listen, you get attention. The crazier the take, people know who you are.
Yeah, I mean, we hear a lot of crazy takes whenever we see, like a result in the Super Bowl. But I don't think it necessarily is a crazy take to think that, the Chiefs are going to rehaul their roster. We spent a lot of yesterday talking about potential trade pieces that the Chiefs could have when it comes to, next year's team. And guys that came up were like guys like Chris Jones, guys like Trent McDuffie. And Ben, I bring this up to you because, the Rams won a Super Bowl and then they kind of just hold on to everything, had a good draft in recent history, like the last 2 years. But when you see teams fall like that on the biggest stage and they have all these pieces that now they need, like their biggest needs now are defensive tackle. They only have one under contract, Chris Jones. How do you see teams that do this more often than not, a.k.a. the Patriots of the 2000s era? If the Chiefs are that, they've got to do moves something like that. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I look at it, Dusty, like there's some fine-tuning. It's kind of like, you buy a house and the house is kind of messed up a little bit. You don't necessarily need to take it all the way down to the studs. I mean, people are like, oh, you got to get new offensive linemen. You guys, you said the contractual situation with some of these guys is an issue. But I look at the Chiefs and I'm like, all right, listen, they won a bunch of close games. Good teams win close games. They had the worst possible moment to have a bad game in the Super Bowl. But no, maybe you change the floors a little bit. You put some new drywall up and that's it. As long as you have Mahomes and Andy Reid and Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, I'm not as dramatic. I don't think this is a Shakespearean Greek tragedy for the Chiefs. I mean, they sucked at a time you cannot suck and all that. But you make a couple of tweaks here and a couple of adjustments there. And I would think with Mahomes, offensive players anyway are going to want to play in Kansas City because of Andy Reid and because of Mahomes. So you should be able to get guys, not that they're going to take discounts, but you'll be able to get guys that want to play there because of the quarterback. So there should be players out there, whether it's Cooper Kupp from the Rams, who might be on the backside of his career as a, wide, and they don't even need a wide receiver per se, but guys like that, those veteran players that are available that are going to be changing teams. So I don't think it's as dire. I know other people do, but I think just a couple of tweaks here and there, and they'll be right back. Because you look at the division, the Chargers are still they're a mediocre team, even with Jim Harbaugh. They weren't much better than they had been. The Broncos, can they do that again? I don't necessarily believe that. And the Raiders have no idea where the front and the back is. So they're completely messed up.
Talking with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, Kelce now becomes an issue, a conversation piece that everybody's going to have. Clark Hunt told us last week he thought Travis Kelce would be back. Travis did not have a great Super Bowl either. Some of the videos that are now, kind of surfacing, showing that, there were some plays where Travis wasn't involved and things of that nature. He mentioned it on his podcast. He has to think about it. I would tell Travis Kelce, don't make a rash decision based on the Super Bowl. I'd come back for one more. What would you do? What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, so my advice always is you got to keep coming back. I mean, make them literally, somebody from the Chiefs go in the locker room and take a pair of scissors and cut the jersey off of your body and rip the helmet off your head. But I will tell you, Bob, that I've been around long enough now to know when guys start talking about retirement, that's usually a sign it's time to hang it up. You're checked out and you're just not there. And I did hear the clip from his fledgling podcast there, Kelce, and it does sound like he's leaning that direction. And I remember I think that was like Parcells back in the day. He used to talk about that. If guys are starting to think about leaving, it's time to leave. And the other thing which is interesting is Kelce, if he wants, Travis Kelce could get one of those TV jobs talking football. They'd pay him a bunch of money, and he could do that once a week, like a studio-type role. So he's got plenty of options. He's apparently got tons of money from all the endorsements and the money he's made in the NFL. And it just kind of feels like, yeah, it's the right time. And for the Chiefs, it's a – a point of demarcation. They lost the Super Bowl. Now they can go to that next wave if they are truly going to match the Patriots and be that super dynasty. Then Mahomes is going to have to win with somebody other than Kelce, and he's going to have to win eventually with somebody other than Andy Reid, most likely. So those are all part of the deal. With if you're going to have extended success, you know, why not now? It seems like a pretty good time. You can find a tight end in the draft or trade for somebody or sign a free agent and, you know, go into it and start fresh and have Travis Kelce travel the world working the concert scene with Taylor Swift.
Well, let's move on to baseball season because that's what's really important. Are the Dodgers, Ben Mount, are the Dodgers yes. good or bad for baseball?
Oh, the Dodgers are good because you either love the Dodgers or you hate the Dodgers. No, I'm all for the super team. And I'll use, Dusty, the Chiefs as an example. The Chiefs have been this great team the last couple of years. How many people watched the Super Bowl hoping the Chiefs were going to lose? There were a lot of people, right? Outside, obviously, of Kansas City. They're like, I'm tired of Andy Reid. I'm tired of Kelce. I'm tired of Mahomes. Like, the Dodgers are not anywhere near that level yet because they only won one World Series and then 2020, which was a couple years back. But they signed every good player. Every good player they got this. I don't know that's ever happened. Anyone they wanted, other than Juan Soto, which they didn't really make that big a push for, they got. And I think the Dodgers, I'm upset Mookie Betts is like, he was trying to downplay going back-to-back. And one of the Dodger players, Miguel Rojas, was saying, they're going to win 120 games. And Mookie's trying to be like, just take it one game at a time. No, I think they've got to be the heels. I think they got to embrace it. But it is good for baseball because either you want to watch greatness or you want to see the Dodgers completely embarrass themselves and somehow screw this up and not even make the playoffs. But there's no middle ground. So those type of teams are great. Basketball, and I know you guys don't touch much basketball, but the NBA is missing that. There's no dominant team. There's no team to really hate. Everyone loves each other. And in baseball, if the Dodgers can be that team, that'd be wonderful. Be great. Everyone's going to have a packed crowd every time they come to town, every city they go to, because you want to see them lose. Or you like him and you want to see him win. So I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it because they're going to pack the ballpark wherever they go. People want to see, you know, that kind of traveling circus come to town like they did with the Yankees back in the day. Baseball has another opportunity, though, to grab what they built last year and move it forward before they have a lockout for an entire year and end the and cancel a season, you know?
Are you doom and gloom guy, Bob? How dare you?
I think it'd be the best thing to happen to baseball to have a lockout for a year, come back with a salary cap and a salary floor. I think every fan would love it.
I hate salary caps. I'm anti-salary cap guy. I don't like salary cap because it does, especially in baseball more than any other sport. Like baseball, the Dodgers, you can have the greatest team and they can go out there and, you know, a couple of pitchers get hot. They play the Royals in the World Series. A couple of pitchers of the Royals get hot, you lose. Like, the salary cap thing, plus I don't want someone to cap how much money I can make, right? I want to work for people that want to overpay me. I don't want to cap someone's salary, but we are trending that direction, Bob, unfortunately. And you know what they're going to do is they're going to get rid of all this deferred money. I don't know how they would do that, though, because the Dodgers, it's like we're around the same age. When I was a kid, sometimes we'd buy stuff on layaway. Like the Dodgers, their entire roster is on layaway. And I feel bad for, like, the next generation of Dodger fans because they're going to suck in, like, 2050 when they have to pay Ohtani and all these guys all this deferred money. It's going to be a mess, and they're going to probably sell the team, whoever, you know, the group owning it now, and somebody's going to have to pay those bills. It makes Bobby Bonilla and the Mets look like, you know, child's play compared to what the Dodgers are doing right now.
Well, when we look at this MLB season, obviously you guys are the favorites to win it all again because you can just pay anybody you want, which we can have that conversation a different day because I think they're terrible for baseball because it's making people not want to watch a sport that people are already struggling to watch sport, Ben. But either way you look at it, When does football end for you? Like, I know it's L.A., you do kind of, you know, you have a bigger NBA and all that sort of stuff, but, like, is it spring training where you start to get in that baseball groove, or does it have to get to opening day for you to really start to hit that baseball groove? And does football last the entire time out there?
Oh yeah, Dusty, you know, I mean, we fight the same battle. It's football, football, football. It's the NFL draft until April. We've got the scouting combine coming up in Indianapolis. That'll be a big content thing for us, and then the first wave of NFL free agency, and then there's like a second wave where they release players for salary cap reasons. So, no, the NFL is great because there's going to be something pretty much every day. And like baseball, Like, I'm into some of the stories right now as teams start to show up to spring training. I think that's kind of interesting. It's, you know, Aaron Boone getting upset with the Dodgers the way they celebrated. Like, dopey stories like that, which I think are pretty good. And then baseball. The problem with baseball is we talk about it opening day. Everyone obsesses. If you win on opening day, you think your team's the greatest. If you lose, you think you blow. And then you kind of forget about it for a while until the All-Star break or so. And then by then, training camp opens up in the NFL, and so then you move back to football, and then you kind of get back into it when the playoffs come around. So it's the circle of life in sports, right?
Yeah. Ben, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the Four Nations face-off in hockey, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Can't wait. I'm wrapping myself in the flag right now. Thank you, guys.
Later. Ben Maller with us, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty, where you can get those Ben Maller chicken tenders all year round.
Might be a new menu item coming on, Dusty Snow Cone.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. If Big Maloney wants to add that one. As my name in his phone now is Dusty Snow.
Dusty's Snow Cone.
Yeah. Can't really make those, though.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Got to shave that ice, right?
Yeah.
Got to get one of those little carts that they have at training camp that's always covered in bees that Chris Jones likes.
Yeah. Tiger's blood.
Yeah. You asked him a good question, I thought, about are the Dodgers good for baseball? And he answered it emphatically, yes. And I tend to agree because I think it's a villain, right? And everybody needs that villain. But I vehemently disagree about the salary cap with Ben. And I think for baseball, for sports, it's different than in life, right? Because in sports, it's a business. You're trying to make sure that everybody's making money and everybody's having a good time, you know, with all this kind of stuff. And there's many fan bases in baseball that just don't ever feel like they're involved in Major League Baseball because they're playing from behind all the time, whether it's here in Kansas City, Cincinnati, Oakland, all these places where you just never feel like you have an opportunity to win and be a contender. That's why, you know, another big reason why football dominates, not just the free TV, as we talked about, but every year people think they have a chance. Like we were talking yesterday, and I think it was you or Max said, like, the Giants just get a quarterback. They got Malik Nabers. They got a good running back. Like we're talking about that on the day and the week after the Super Bowl where the Giants have a top five pick. You know, like that's what football does. It creates that. They sell hope in baseball, as it should sell hope because it's spring, doesn't sell hope to a lot of people. But if you've got a salary cap and a salary floor, now you got everybody on that same level playing field. And I only think you're going to grow the game if you do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to agree with everything he says.
No.
I mean, I just think that, like, because he says, like, well, take the Chiefs, for example. Well, there is a salary cap in football, and they kept winning
right.
with patch-up jobs along the seasons, right? Like, they went and got Juju Smith-Schuster and DeAndre Hopkins and parlayed that into a Super Bowl run.
Right.
The year before, they had Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, who's living his worst life now.
Yeah, I mean, my God, that guy sucks.
Yeah, he's out. His football career's over.
Yeah, oh, yeah. His wife may be
like,
over
strangled
here.
A woman and got arrested. And now he's, you know, facing charges for that. Plus, he can't catch a ball. Plus, nobody likes him. Plus,
right.
he's no longer being football. But there is a salary cap, or there isn't a salary cap in baseball. And the way the Dodgers are doing it is taking a sport where there's already a lack of interest and you're making it more of a, like, right when baseball started to change for the better and, as many have said, started a renaissance, like, the Dodgers completely shut that door immediately and just turned their back to everybody. It's like, well, we're just going to go pay everybody, then we'll just pay them in the future because we can, because we're the Dodgers and we don't care. And it's like, other teams literally can do that, but they can't do that. And there's a reason why the Dodgers are hated as opposed to why the Chiefs are hated. The Chiefs are hated because they just win under circumstances that are just insanely hard to do.
They win differently all the time.
Right. And they don't go out and buy their players. Like, they didn't go out and get A.J. Brown and go get, I don't know, pay Jamar
Josh
Chase
Sweat.
Or something like that. And then, you know, build up their team and be like, okay, and then we're going to pay him in 2035. That's what the Dodgers are doing, because you can do that in baseball and it sucks, but they exploit that and they do it more than anybody else. I know the Yankees used to do it all the time, but we still hated the Yankees too.
The Yankees never did that deferred money stuff, though.
No.
That makes it even more egregious if you're the Dodgers.
But I mean, there was a time where, like, the Yankees lineup was like Derek Jeter, Mark Teixeira, Giambi, Posada, A-Rod, like all those, Matsui, like all those guys, like, what in the world are we doing here? And of course, they went on and won like every World Series for like four straight years. The Dodgers do this, and it's annoying because it's like every best player, like their entire rotation could win a Cy Young. Half of their lineup has or can win an MVP. And they just keep going and keep doing it and keep getting those guys throughout the years. And it's like, yeah, we just need to stop doing this. And again, every team can do this, but they don't. And I think that's the reason why people hate the Dodgers, because you're like, well, if they can do it, so can we. If their owner can do it, so can ours. But everyone's owners don't do that. So literally, I don't know. It's annoying. I don't like it. And it's bad because there should be a salary cap for baseball. There should also be a floor, like you had mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I think it would make competition better. And competition within the sport makes it better. That's, again, why people hate the Chiefs, because the competition in the NFL is better than it's ever been, but yet one team just kept winning the grand prize. Now the Eagles win, the Chiefs go down a block, and no one thinks of them as a villain anymore, and they're no longer as hated as they were maybe 2 weeks ago. Baseball, you're going to hate the Dodgers for the entire year this year, the entire year next year, the entire year after that, and you're going to have your best shot at trying to play them in a World Series against a roster that doesn't have the money or the capability or the superstar power that they have. So I think that's why they're not good for baseball, and they're not hated the same way the Chiefs are hated.
Yeah, I think that the baseball hatred, though, can dissipate if you do get a salary cap and a salary floor, because over the last couple of years, not last couple of years, about a year or so, I ask everybody all the time as a baseball fan, would you be upset if baseball shut down for a year but came back with a salary cap and a salary floor? I've not had one person tell me no. I've actually had more people be excited about that and say, is that really a possibility? Could we do that? I'd be willing to give up 2026 or 2027 to come back with a salary cap and a salary floor, knowing that everybody is on the same page. And look, when the NFL went out on strike back in the early 90s or whatever it was, and they came back, they had the salary cap, they had the salary floor, and look at where the NFL is right now. They picked up when baseball went on strike in 1994 and never let go. And baseball has an opportunity to make itself better as a game. I think they're headed in that direction. I know a lot of the purists don't like Rob Manfred and some of the stuff he's done. I like the fact that Rob Manfred is trying things and doing things and making baseball, I guess you could say, uncomfortable for a lot of the baseball lifers. But baseball needed to be made uncomfortable for a lot of the baseball lifers. And I love the pitch clock. I love the ghost runner. I love all that kind of stuff that he's brought to the game, because it speeds it up, right?
2.5 hours long.
I mean, it's great. Like, you don't like the pitch clock when you're at the game, but when you're watching on TV, the pitch clock is the best.
I don't hate it at the game.
I don't either. I've been to games where, like, man, that game moved really quick, and you know, I only got one hot dog or whatever, right? But I think the next step is a salary cap and a salary floor, and I do believe that fans would want this, and fans would be forgivable, and I don't think the owners really would. Like, they'd lose a year, obviously, of revenue, but they're also not paying the players during a lockout, so you're not losing a whole heck of a lot, and you're resetting the game for the better. And for whatever reason, players and owners can't see this, and they can't fathom this, because another big problem in baseball is you have the rich owners versus the other owners as well. And the Dodgers are like, why should we be stopped what we can spend? Mm-hmm. And the Royals are like, hey, we need to have an even playing field. And the greatest sports league in the country has an even playing field. If you're baseball, why wouldn't you want to do that? And if you're a player, a salary cap may cap the high end, but everybody else, the 99 percentile of the low end, all their salaries are going to be brought up, and people are going to make money because these teams have to get to a certain level. It's more than just about the one percenters in baseball. And I think the 99 percenters, the guys that don't make the huge, you know, money, they're going to have a big say in this go around, and they're not on the same page as the guys that are making a boatload of cash. So it's going to be crazy in baseball, but the best thing they could do is salary cap, salary floor. And if they have to stop the season or the sport for a year to do so, it will come back better than it's ever been.
I am with a couple of these text messages, because somebody says from 816, dude, we would lose our minds all summer long if we didn't have baseball to watch. 100% agree. And then from the 816, selfishly, I don't want to miss a year of Bobby Witt Jr.'s prime.
Yeah,
Again, with you as well.
And no, I totally get that. But we also remember we had COVID, and we all found something else to do when baseball wasn't there until they, you know, came back with a 60-game schedule. And they effed that up, too. That was embarrassing for both sides in baseball when they were trying to get the job done during COVID to get back to play. And the owners and players are bickering and fighting during a pandemic about nonsense. And so I think you will – look, the NFL is a 365-day-a-year product, right? Mm-hmm. You will miss a couple of games of baseball, you will miss it, but you know when it comes back, knock on wood, it will be better than when it left. And I think if it comes back with a cap and a floor, everybody would be like, great, let's go, let's move forward. And I'd rather have the opportunity to win a championship every year than another year Bobby Witt's prime, because if the level playing field is there, we're going to have an opportunity to win championships, not once every 5 to 10 years.
Another moment where we can respect the text from the 913, I've used this example before, but baseball is like playing a game of Monopoly with somebody who starts the game with a lot more money and houses and hotels owned before you even roll the dice.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Agree. Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, it is Thursday. It is 7:45. We get into our February edition of Smash or Pass here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it, apparently February is a month in which they want you to watch your weight because you're frozen inside in the Midwest, at least, not everywhere nationally. Or
when we spent the last two months in holidays just eating.
Well, I think January is like a cleanse month for a lot of people. That's they fair, do dry January
new
or whatever.
Year, new me.
Yeah, right.
Not still the same year, just a new year. And then dry January and then February 1st. All right, I need a drink.
Exactly.
You know? But good for you guys if you actually survived and keep going. I know I am ready to be able to go right back out into the streets and do my normal routine of runs and jogs and walks and more walks and jogs and runs.
You're ready to get outside. Yeah. Like the winter's over. The spring training baseball has started. We were just in New Orleans where it was nice. We're done with this, right?
I mean, we came back to a rude awakening.
Yeah.
But I am glad they didn't nail the coverage of snow. Maybe some places got it, but like we were talking about like 4 to 9 inches of snow.
Yeah.
I think we might have gotten 2.5.
Maybe. And it was such light powder too. Yeah. It just moved it out of the way.
It just
Jen only had
quickly.
A shovel once. It was great.
That's good. Mm-hmm. But we do the Smasher Pass every Thursday around this time.
Smasher.
And it seems like a very health kick when it comes to this website. This is from The Tasty.
I'm loving some of these recipes
so far. I figured
they're
right up your alley. Yeah. So one of them is a roasted vegetable macaroni and cheese. So they have like squash, zucchini, broccoli, peppers. And then you make your mac and cheese, the elbow style, and then add all those roasted veggies into it.
Looks pretty good, yeah.
So you're smashing.
Yeah, absolutely I am. Absolutely smashing that, yeah.
Blood orange, almond, and ricotta cake.
Yeah, I'm out on that one.
That seems a little too rich.
Yeah.
Korean barbecue steak bowls with sesame, spicy sesame dressing.
Mm. Doesn't that look
so good?
Love it.
I don't know how to say that.
Quinoa?
It's quinoa. I thought it was quinoa.
English language.
Quinoa pizza bowls.
That looks good.
Yep, I'm in.
That looks like heartburn in a cup. Twice baked breakfast sweet potatoes. How you doing?
Oh my!
Baked potatoes are a pain in the ass to make, like labor intensive.
That's why you get the ones at Hy-Vee.
I know. You get, but I've never seen like the sweet potato. Like,
oh, they have them.
Do they? Okay.
Okay.
But this one looks like a sweet potato. Obviously, the sweet potato, but a twice baked. So. Gutted, smothered, and re-put in there.
With a fried egg on top. That looks good.
Yeah. With sausage in there, too, and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that sweet potato combo, sign me up.
If somebody makes that for me, I'm in.
Oh, for sure.
If I have to make it, probably out.
Probably goes with me for all of these items, yeah.
This is what I will pass on. Spicy buffalo chickpea wraps. I'm just not really into those. I think it's like a texture thing. Just give me the Buffy chicky wrap.
If you take the it's not chicken, it's the chickpeas with the buffalo.
Yeah.
I like chickpeas. I put them in the air fryer, throw them on top of a salad or eat them as a snack, and they're crunchy. They're really good for that. I'm not in on that, though. No.
I like the cinnamon white Russian, though. Have you ever had a white Russian?
I have once.
Yeah, in Russia?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
No, yeah, I think white Russian is all right. It's normally like a creamy dessert cocktail. Mm. A good resetter. Add a little cinnamon in there. Sign me up.
Yeah, I'm in.
Out.
Okay.
Just not a white Russian. Yeah,
not a
cinnamon guy.
I don't want cream. Okay.
Nacho style sweet potato wedges with black beans and green chili salsa.
I'm leaving right now to go make that.
That is awesome.
I mean, why not? Like green salsa. You put that on anything for me, I'm a sucker.
Any verde style of burrito, taco, anything, I'm all in. Yeah. I love enchiladas with the green chicken and the cheese.
I mean, give you a little secret. Go to Hy-Vee, get the green enchilada sauce, put a couple of chicken breasts in a pan and just bake it in the oven with some cheese on top. It's so easy and delicious.
Yeah, everything is just like such a health kick. Like polenta, refried beans, and egg skillets.
I do that, man. I do that.
Best beef and bacon meatloaf. Yeah. So a meatloaf wrapped in bacon.
Yeah, labor intensive again. If somebody wants to make that, I'm in. Yeah.
Brussels sprouts and mushroom grilled cheese. I'll make those at 1 a.m. every day the rest of my life.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not making it at 1 a.m., Dad.
Are these like
I'm making it at 1 a.m.
Is this a sandwich or is it like an open-faced, like Brussels sprouts and mushroom
on top? I think it's a sandwich. They're showing you the sandwich open, then they're putting it on top of there with the final picture.
Yeah, that looks good.
Oh, yeah.
Either way, I'm in.
Bittersweet chocolate pudding pie with dark rum.
Not a chocolate pudding guy.
That's going to lock your jaw. But how about the one below it? Tiramisu Swiss roll cake.
All day.
Every,
yeah, that looks good. Day.
Where's Jasper at?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll be there every single Saturday afternoon eating that, just that.
I'll show them this tomorrow.
I mean, that looks nuts, man. So what are you smashing on in February? I need to know, because we did the chili and the chili dykes last night. It was fantastic. But I'm trying to – I mean, I don't know what's like a traditional February smash food. I mean, obviously, people do the Valentine's Day sweets. Like, you now have candy in your house for the next.
Did you look at number 22 on this list?
But I can scroll down. Is it a smash? Why don't you give it a read?
Pulled pork Pop-Tarts.
Whoa, what?
I mean, that's just like basically a enlarged pizza roll.
It's like a pork empanada is what
I
would
call
it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably better at it, too. Trout and garlic lemon butter herb sauce.
I like trout.
How you doing?
Yeah, trout's good. Yeah.
Do
butternut squash cake?
Pass. Yeah. No, but it is interesting to know like what people...
Like all these good things, and then you got butternut squash cake? I'm like... Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the text line says Korean hot dogs. Look it up. So damn good.
I know. I'm looking it up right now. Korean corn dogs are made with a thick yeasted batter that doesn't include cornmeal. Instead, rice flour is typically used.
Huh.
Sausages are often wrapped in cheese, such as sticks of mozzarella.
Mmm.
Yeah, and deep fried, I'm in.
That Cajun sausage I had at the airport in New Orleans was pretty damn good,
Was it good like that?
Oh, yeah.
It's tough to get good food at an airport.
Of course, yes. Because
even if you do get, like, whatever the franchise is, for some reason, maybe it's in my head, it doesn't taste the same.
It's not. No, it's not.
Like, one time I got a pan pizza from a Pizza Hut in an airport.
Yeah, that's
And I was like, this doesn't taste like Pizza Hut. My dad's like, shut up, it was $12, eat it. I'm like, okay, fine.
That's a total dad move right there. I don't care what it tastes like. It was $12. Yeah, you sit down and eat it.
Better be the best damn pan pizza you ever had. Coming on the other side, Royals expectations and something and some things that you are really, really, really ready to watch. I sound like Rob Parker there for a second. Coming up on the other side, Royals talk for you in Kansas City, your home on 96.5 The Fan for Royals baseball.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan.